We have a subject today that involves most of the people of the world, but I just have it as America's number one problem. But it's not just ours. It's everywhere, all over the world. Anywhere you want to go, people have problems with the heart. Some of you have heard of people having trouble with the duodenum. What's the problem that we have with the duodenum? Peptic ulcers? Some of you have heard of having trouble with your bones. What's the big problem we have there? Osteoporosis. Muscles. And arthritis with the bones and joints. Mm-hmm. And what about the muscles? Fibromyalgia. Multiple sclerosis. Muscular dystrophy. You've heard of those. Have you ever heard of anybody having trouble with a spleen? Once in a while, you'll hear of that too, won't you? But you hear of heart disease all the time. All the time. People have stomach problems. They have problems with the kidneys. They have problems with the bladder. It's rare that they have a problem with the spleen. More frequently, they have a problem with the bone marrow, like with leukemia or something like that. But if you aren't trained to handle heart disease, then you will have a serious deficit in your training program. So we like to train people as well as we can to deal with heart disease. We want to do that. And you will notice that heart disease is not just physical. Heart disease is also spiritual. And interestingly enough, what affects one will also affect the other. So if you have a spiritual problem, it'll affect your heart. If you have a heart problem, it will affect your spirituality. They just go together like that. And a heart the heart being the mind, that kind of heart problem can intensify any kind of physical problem because of the close association with what goes on in the mind and what goes on in the body. Now, you can think about this just a little bit. Think about such things as common daily activities, your eating schedule. If you've trained yourself to do so, you can get hungry right on time, can't you? If you've trained yourself to do so, you can get sleepy right at the right time. Some of us have trained ourselves to get sleepy at the wrong times, too. Yeah, like in meetings. Especially in the afternoon. So we have to be concerned about that. Excuse me while I make a little noise. Now, if we can understand the fact that we have both a mind problem and a physical heart problem, we can understand that they occur all at the same time. It gives us a long step forward in understanding how to deal with heart disease. If you have a problem spiritually, will it make your cholesterol be abnormal? Yes, I heard yes. Yes. And why? Why is that? Somebody besides the physician. yes. Stress increases all our stress hormones, doesn't it? And what is the basis of the stress hormone molecules that the body makes? What's the raw material? Well, it's cholesterol in a lot of instances. Many of our hormones have cholesterol as the basis. Testosterone and cholesterol. they sound, even the names sound alike, don't they? That's what makes chemistry easy. You just learn the names and you've got it made. What about estrogen? A little bit differently written, but the basis is the same, cholesterol. So many of our hormones have as their raw material required for their production cholesterol. So if you can control some of those, that's helpful too. So such things as sexuality, as discontent, restlessness, wrong eating habits, wrong sleeping habits, inadequate exercise. All of these have mental influences, don't they? Early in childhood, if sexuality is promoted, as it often is, it results in early puberty. Therefore, parents should not put their children in any kind of situation that would encourage thoughts of sexuality before the age of 20. Really? 20? Yes, all the way to 20. Because up to that time, at least, if not up to 24 or 25, the body is still developing. And during that time, it needs to not be concerned about heavy sexual hormone production. Do you understand? Because that's for full maturity and not for immaturity. And so stress hormones are begun in our age because of television and the wrong attitudes in our schools. In kindergarten, little boys and little girls now have their favorites. This is my boyfriend. This is my girlfriend. And that's a little too early. At that time, the girls should keep themselves to themselves and the boys should keep themselves to themselves a good little bit. That's not to say there can't be any mingling, but they should certainly not be paired off in couples at an early age because of the fact that we can have the spiritual or the mental affecting the physical and making us weak so that we cannot live as successfully in adult life as we could if we had had a more even childhood. Now, some causes of heart disease. Now, this is the physical heart. So let's just consider a few things. The first that we'll consider is toxic metals. This I just chose completely arbitrarily. I didn't put these in any order of their importance, but just the way that I wanted to talk about them. So thallium, aluminum, mercury, there are others. Zinc, iron, calcium, all minerals are toxic in overdosage. Some minerals are toxic in any dose. Just a little causes a little toxicity, and a lot causes a lot of toxicity. All of these, probably in any degree, in any level that they occur in the body, those are toxic. Some that are toxic in overdosage are essential to the body's functioning, for instance, iron or calcium. and these, copper and zinc. They are toxic in overdosage, but a deficiency may cause heart disease. Same thing is true with magnesium, which you should write there. I should have put that there. Magnesium. Magnesium deficiency can cause rhythm disturbances of the heart. As spirituality goes down, the frequency and extent of coronary events may vary accordingly. Frequency. How many cardiac events will you have in a year? And if you, when you have a coronary event or some kind of cardiac event of any kind, the extent of it is bigger, the lower your spirituality. And a number of studies have been done on that and published in medical and secular literature showing that church attendance, which may or may not be a real measure of spirituality, but at least it is something that can be measured. Church attendance, for those who attend once a year or less, compared to those that attend once a month or more, the deaths from heart attacks are about four times greater. So it's an important thing for us to know about this, some of these things that can cause us to have heart trouble. Now, some natural diuretics. Burdock. Burdock was used by the American Indians, especially those that lived in the northern part of the United States. From antiquity, they used it as a toner, a blood purifier, and in this regard, it is a diuretic because it helps to rid the body of toxic substances as it rids the body of excess water. How would one get excess water? Yesterday we talked about dehydration. Can you be toxic in overdosage on water? Yes, you can. Every large hospital will have several cases, or at least one or two cases of water toxicity. That's not drowning. That's the toxic effects of water on the body when it's in overdosage. Who gets that? Well, it's mainly people who are not well balanced mentally who get too much. And right now somebody's thinking, well, I generally take, I take about maybe 3 quarts a day. That's probably too much. Maybe I'm mentally unbalanced. No, it takes a lot more than 3 quarts a day to get toxicity. You can get, you can overload yourself some before you get really toxic with water early on. And how can you tell? Well, one of the main ways is by the color of the urine. If your urine is totally colorless, then you probably are taking too much water. You need to have a little color, just not dark. If it's dark, that means that you're underhydrated. So this is a general rule of thumb. Now, sometimes there are foods that we can eat or supplements that people take that can cause the urine to look quite dark when it's not really concentrated. Another way that you can know you're overloaded is if you feel a little dizzy after you drink another glass of water. Drink a glass of water and you feel real dizzy. It may be that you're overloaded. Now, it could be that you're simply mobilizing some materials from the intestinal tract and it now has a vehicle that it can use to get into the bloodstream, and that can cause you to feel dizzy. And if your habits of water drinking with no bladder problems and no kidney problems require you to visit the bathroom every hour throughout the day and get up at night four or five times when you're young, one or two times, even when you're young, may not be certainly one time may not be bad. And after you get past the age of 50, getting up two times a night is not bad. When you get to four times, that's beginning to get bad. That will then interfere with sleep and may mean that you're either diuresing or you are drinking too much water. That is, if you have no bladder problems and no kidney problems, which can also cause getting up at night frequently. Burdock will sometimes appear on lists of herbs that are toxic and should not be used. But that we have not found ever any toxicity in the use of it, nor have we known of anybody who has, but it has been reported that it can be toxic, so it's possible that it is. But if your choice is between burdock and taking a mercurial diuretic or some other drug diuretic, by all means take the burdock. Because between the two, the drug is always toxic. It's 100% of the time it is toxic. That's the way it works, by having a toxic effect on your kidney so that it cannot resorb water for one reason or other. So these, now do the natural diuretics, do they work on the basis of forcing the kidney to put out more water because it cannot resorb it? And the answer is no, it doesn't work that way. It works in a nutritive effect by increasing the flow of blood through the kidneys. And that's an altogether different problem, you see. Different matter. How about these others? Well, buku, watermelon seed, and corn silk. These three are very mild diuretics, very gentle diuretics, but very effective. Dandelion is stronger, either the leaf or the root, and with burdock it's either the leaf or the root, but usually the root. And chamomile. Chamomile is, as its name has a rhyme with, chamomile is mild. It's also a nice sleep producer. It is a daytime tranquilizer and a nighttime sedative. It has a number of uses, as do almost all herbs. It's not just one effect. It's like drugs in this way. Drugs have side effects. Herbs have many benefits. And most herbs that have been used for a long time are not at all toxic. There are some that are used only in certain instances, and by people who are skilled in the use of it, like lobelia, and some others, periwinkle. There are many that are toxic, but they're not in common use, and you won't see them often. But these that are in common use, you can be certain that they are not toxic, and you can use them. How much? Well, generally speaking, it's a rounded tablespoonful to a quart of water. And do you boil it or do you steep it? Most of the time, it's leaves, silks, petals, steeped. Everything else is boiled. How much do you boil it? Generally, from 5 to 25 minutes. And how vigorously do you boil it? It is always a gentle simmer. Always a gentle simmer. Leaves and petals and silks are steeped. Now, when you steep something, that means you just let it set. And the length of time for a medicinal herb is 30 minutes. For a beverage herb, it may be as short a time as 5 minutes. Tea that is drunk as a beverage is drunk for the purpose of making water more palatable. It is not a nutrient. But some people like to brew tea strongly. Then they're going to require sweetener in it. And then you miss one of the benefits of having the tea, which is simply to increase your water intake. And if water doesn't taste good, then putting tea with it can be very, very helpful. Dandelion, you can pick that yourself. If you recognize dandelion that grows in your lawn, just pick it. You can dry it yourself too, which concentrates the potency of it some, because it reduces the total volume of it. Watermelon seed, you can save your own. Just rinse those seeds that come from the watermelon that you have just eaten. Just take the seed, rinse them, dry them, and store them. When it's time for you to take a diuretic, then you use a tablespoonful ground in a little seed mill, like a Moulinex mill, and grind it to a powder, and then stir it in water. And are you going to steep it or simmer it? Well, just ask yourself a question. Is it leaves, petals, or silks? Then it must be boiled slightly. You boil it because it is not one of those that you steep. We only steep three. What are those again? Leaves, petals, and silks. Those are the ones that you steep. Now, if it's the whole plant, even if it includes stems, even if it's stems and roots, whole plant chopped, which you will sometimes have that, it may also have petals and leaves in it. But if it has these others, then you simmer it. Burdock, if it's the root, then it, what will happen to it if it's the root?
It is boiled. Root, those that you usually
use. You can use either root or leaf. And so if it's the root, what would you do?
Simmered.
It's simmered. Uh-huh. Yeah, and it is not a vigorous boil, because if you boil it too vigorously, you can damage the active principle. Okay. Now, some herbs for the heart. What's this first one up here? Ginkgo. Is that the principal use of ginkgo? What is ginkgo used for principally? For the memory. Is it effective for that? Yes, it is. Does the medical literature say uniformly that it is good for the memory? No. Recently, an article came out. I think I may have told you about one such or two such yesterday. Well, an article came out about ginkgo and said that it was not good for the memory. But it was only used for something like 3 weeks. And the effectiveness of most herbs does not reach its peak until it gets to about a month of your usage. So you can't make a decision about it in 3 weeks. Where do you get ginkgo? Have you ever seen a ginkgo tree? Has anybody? No, there are several who have not seen a ginkgo tree. Would you hold your hand up if you have not seen a ginkgo tree? Okay, well, let me tell you where to find some. If you'll just go down the hill, and they're just beginning to put their little leaves out. Go down the hill, right here, this one, and when you get toward the bottom, there's a curve in the road that goes first, like an, well, first to the left and then back to the right. Before you get to the back to the right part, on the right, you'll find a place where we mow, and there are 5 ginkgo trees there, just beginning to put out their leaves. They are fan-shaped leaves with pinnate, no, let's see, it's a parallel veining that they have, And you can gather those in the late summer or early fall. You don't want them to start turning brown, just beginning to turn yellow. Just beginning. Then you gather it and rinse them and dry them. And you have to be careful about drying them because the leaves stick together because they're fairly flat. So they stick together, so you have to shake them up every day and make sure you turn them well and get the leaves separated so that they can dry easily. Then when they're dried, you pull the stems off of them and then you grind them to a powder and use a rounded tablespoonful or even a heaping tablespoonful. It's not toxic. And put it in water. And then what do you do? What do you do? You steep it. You steep it. How long do you steep it? Half an hour. And you start out with the ginkgo leaves. That's a rounded or even heaping tablespoonful of the powdered ginkgo leaves. And what else? What's going in that? Water. How much and what kind? It can be distilled. A quart. And what is its condition? What is the condition of the water? Boiling. Boiling water. So you pour the boiling water in a cup, or if you're making a whole quart at one time, pour the boiling water on the ginkgo leaves, cover it, and let it steep for half an hour. Okay. It's one teaspoonful per cup. There are 3 teaspoonsful per tablespoon, and you want more than there are 4 cups in a quart. So if you're using a quart of water, you'll need 4 teaspoons, which means a rounded tablespoonful or a heaping tablespoonful. Can you use the bulk ginkgo? The bulk ginkgo, yes, you can. You can use that. It's much more expensive than going out and gathering them yourself. That's true if you don't have a ginkgo tree. And in the late fall, we will go out to a place. Don't know whether I should tell you where it is or not. I might get in trouble. But it's on the way from here to Fort Benning, and there is a grove of ginkgo trees. And go out there with some scissors and some plastic bags and fill them full, baskets and bags, fill them full. Yes, it's ginkgo biloba. And you'll when you see the little, when you examine. Yes, it's good for the heart. It's good for the brain too. But it works so slowly, you know, it increases your memory just a little by little, and increases your ability to select words well. And, you know, this kind of thing is very helpful. And then when you stop taking it, the effect continues to last for a long time. It's very different from a drug. With a drug, you take a drug by mouth, in 30 minutes you know you've been hit by something, don't you? Because you begin to feel funny, or the effects of it, in most instances. But with an herb, you simply don't feel that. So you don't have the same evidence that the drug is affecting your body as you do with a drug.
Question.
For children, they may take it too. Is that, or would you be giving it to them for the memory or for the heart? For the children, it's probably better if you take something away from them. Now, I don't know whether you would need to or not, but sweets can affect the memory. Coloring agents can affect the memory of children. And fats, heavy fats, can affect the memory. heavy thoughts affect the memory very severely in some people. So we have to be really careful with that. Lily of the Valley. Now again, sorry, I'm going to go the wrong way. And I will need to, there must be a way on that little thing that I can make it go backward. Somebody said, yeah. I really meant on my little wand here. Oh, that's it. Yeah, that's where I want to be. Thank you so much, Brandon. And there must be a way here on this that will make it go backward. Oh, yes, probably it's this negative sign. No, that's brightness. Okay, well, at any rate, maybe I won't hit the wrong button again. Okay, Lily of the Valley, you will hear that, oh, Mother Wort and Lily of the Valley, you will sometimes see those on lists of herbs that you should not take. But we have given Mother Wort and Lily of the Valley many times and talked with many herbalists who use it all the time, never had any kind of problem with it. Take all sorts of studies on the blood, liver studies, kidney studies, never have any problem. And I'm thinking that a lot of people just sort of overreact to overdosages of these. Now, hawthorn berry is very nice. We use it for a lot of things. When you hear hawthorn berry, the first thing that you think of is the heart. Here are some hawthorn berries. If anybody wants to see them, this is not the only way they look. This is one variety of hawthorn berry, but there are many others that you can also have. So if you want to see these, I'll just pass them around and they'll come back to each of you here. Now, hawthorn berry can be used for anti-inflammatory purposes too. What are some inflammatory illnesses? Can you think of some inflammatory illnesses?
Arthritis.
That's probably the most common inflammatory illness. So you can use hawthorn berry for that. Lupus. All the collagen diseases. You can use hawthorn berry for that. Another very good anti-inflammatory agent is flaxseed. We need it in greater quantity for most of these very serious illnesses than you can get just by taking the flaxseed. You may need to take the flaxseed oil, which contains the active principle that is anti-inflammatory. And bear in mind that kidney diseases, thyroid diseases are often inflammatory illnesses, and you need to give them an anti-inflammatory herbal and give them a diet that also is anti-inflammatory. Question?
Dr. Trash, have you ever heard of cadmium-free flaxseed?
Cadmium-free.
Cadmium-free.
Okay. Yes, I have. Cadmium is a toxic mineral, always toxic in any quantity in the human body. How do we get it? How do we get cadmium? Often from refined grains as a contaminant. And it may be that flaxseed gets cadmium from the same source.
Because I heard there's one young lady, she owns a herbal shop.
A lady with a herbal shop.
And one of the things that she's saying
that her flaxseed is cadmium free.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And she would think that the soil that has cadmium in it.
The plant itself probably does not take up cadmium, but the dust would get on it. And that brings me to another point, and that is seeds and nuts that are already shelled should be rinsed well before you use them. So flaxseed, if you're going to use it raw, flaxseed should be sterilized in some way. You may rinse it if you rinse it fast before it begins to swell, and then you have to dry it fast too before it begins to stick together. So it's tricky to. So heat may be your best way to sterilize flaxseed. In the oven.
In the oven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just usually 15 minutes at about 250. Put them thin, put a thin layer in a cookie sheet or a baking dish, and just fill your oven with nuts, 250. Now, if you put nuts at 350 in your oven, expecting to do almost anything with it, you're going to burn them. So just start out with 250 and let them get hot enough that you cannot bear to touch them, and you will get burned if you touch them, and that will get the all shelled nuts. That's ideal, certainly if they are imported. Imported nuts? What's our principal imported nut here? Cashews. Do you eat cashews without rinsing them and sterilizing them? Don't do it. Rinse them, and when you rinse them, you will immediately understand why it was nice to rinse them. You will see what's rinsed off, and you'll be happy that you did rinse them before you ground them up and ate them. So rinse them and then sterilize them, dry them in the oven.
What about ones that are shelled?
You mean like, you're not talking of cashews, but like pecans and walnuts. If they're prepared in this country, usually you don't have to worry about it too much. It's imported ones that you need to worry about, because in this country, the sanitation principles for regulations for shelled nuts is pretty tight. Mrs. Bliss. Yes, I rinse them, and I don't use soap. I just rinse them and then put them on flat pans, one layer thick, and dry them in the oven. And the drying temperature is 250. And when they are dry, they are usually sterilized. Also, you may need to leave them in a little bit longer after they are dry to be sure they come up to a high enough temperature that they sterilize. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, golden seal. I won't talk about these others, yarrow and Oregon grape. They're very good herbs for the heart. Golden seal is a healing herb. And so if you have some little cardiac event and you've lost a little muscle, little cardiac muscle, you may need to have some healing. And golden seal is certainly very good as a healer for anything. Now, magnesium salts, it's good for the rhythm. It's also good for the blood pressure. L-carnitine, 1 teaspoonful daily for 12 months, can help as a nutrient to improve the strength of the heartbeat and the nourishment of the muscles. And then flaxseed and flaxseed oil to reduce inflammation. The use of cayenne only as a stimulant. I don't like to use cayenne regularly, because if used regularly, it can become a cancer-producing agent for the stomach. And it's the capsaicin in the cayenne. And that's why we recommend that you not use it as a food, because the capsaicin in it is it's not only a stimulant for the heart and for the blood vessels, but it is also a cancer-producing agent.
Dr. Crash, they have also shown that cayenne with any other hot pepper, as well as pecan spices, causes high blood pressure also.
Okay, so the stimulant effect of it can cause high blood pressure. Yes, I have not heard that. Yes.
I have microbial
prolapse. Uh-huh.
My resting heart rate, I don't exercise, is about 100. And so I'm wondering if the first two would be beneficial.
Oh, yes, very good. But exercise is your very best bet. Exercise is medicine. Let's all say that together. Exercise is medicine. Again, that sounded really good. Exercise is medicine. Yes. So how often are you going to take this medicine? Every day. Quote, let some portion of every day be spent in outdoor exercise. Let some portion of every day be spent in outdoor exercise. I can't overemphasize that. It is one of the very best things for the heart. It's also very good for the spirituality. Go for a walk by yourself. Meditate and pray. Take a little packet of cards with you that have scripture verses on it. And as you walk along, memorize scripture. Memorize some of the great Bible promises. Question? If the walls of the heart are swollen, do you mean thickened by hypertension? Probably is what you mean. It's called hypertrophy of the heart. The best thing to do is to get the blood pressure down. And that you do with natural things. Mild to moderate blood pressure elevation is not as bad as the medications used for blood pressure, high blood pressure. Hope you all heard that, because that is important. A lot of times people will go to the doctor and have a blood pressure of 150 or 160 over 88 or 92, and they come away with a prescription for a blood pressure medicine, but the medicine is more injurious to you, both to your mind as well as to your body, than is that little bit of high blood pressure. So we need to use the natural things. I'm not advocating that you keep a high blood pressure. If your blood pressure is above 120 over 80, we need to get it down. But use natural ways to do it. What do you suppose would be number one way? Exercise. Exercise will bring the blood pressure down. So we need to use that. We need to use it generously. Okay, notice this one. Use digestive enzymes for an abnormal heart rate. Digestive enzymes, they don't seem to go together. Digestive enzymes for a problem with rhythm or rate of the heart, yes, they do go together. For an abnormal rhythm, like PAT, paroxysmal auricular tachycardia, or just common tachycardia, or atrial fibrillation, comes with a fast heart rate. Any of those digestive enzymes may be needed because, now the old doctors were pretty strong on this, that is that when you have a rhythm disturbance in the heart, digestion may be at fault. So pay attention to digestion. In addition to digestive enzymes, what else would you do to make your digestion good? Well, one thing is don't lie down after a meal. Another thing is don't eat too many varieties at a meal. If you have a heart rhythm problem, then probably two items at a meal are the best, two dishes. Very simple foods, and a complex casserole and a complex stew and a bread that has nuts and seeds and tomatoes and bunches of other things in it, that's a complex meal, and it's difficult to digest it. So it's better for you to use a simple diet, and if you still have digestive problems or a heart rhythm problem, use some digestive enzymes and see if that will help. CoQ10, a nutrient for the heart muscle. Very good for you. All right, some anticoagulant measures. Anticoagulant measures. This is not all of them, but these are a few. Garlic in adequate doses. Some people sprinkle a little garlic on the food and say, oh, I use garlic a lot, but I still have high blood pressure. Well, it's more than a little sprinkle on the food. It's to take it by the teaspoonful. And a teaspoonful stirred in water four times a day would be good. Now, somebody, I can just hear them say, but I meet the public. I can't take that much garlic. I wouldn't be accepted. Then there is aged garlic, which does not have as much odor for most people. Most people can take the aged garlic extract and not have a problem. Grape juice, this is another excellent anticoagulant. 5 ounces, once or twice a day. Red clover tea has a very good anticoagulant in it. Cup full four times a day. Ginkgo, there's our friend. It's good for the heart. It's good for the brain. It's good for the blood. It keeps the blood from clotting inside your blood vessels. A cup full of the tea or decoction four times a day. Walk briskly for 45 minutes daily. That's an anticoagulant measure, doctor? Oh, yes, it's an anticoagulant measure. Do you see why we need so many drugs? We don't eat right. We don't sleep right. We don't exercise as we should. We are under stresses all the time. We have TV. TV is a coagulant producer. So, as a physician, I say to you, get rid of your TV. We may have some ministers in the audience, and if we do, they are saying to you, get rid of your TV. There may be some teachers in the audience, and if so, they are saying to you, get rid of your TV. Yes. Oh, my. 3ABN is on TV also.
Dr. Breast is on 3ABN.
Get a 3ABN monitor only. Okay. Sorry? Well, it increases your stress level. Now, you will notice about 3ABN. Have you ever noticed the filming techniques of 3ABN? They have a single camera on you during the time that that single camera is on you. And how long does it focus on you? Oh, about 5 minutes. Yeah, more than 5 seconds. Have you ever noticed commercial TV? It's a flash, and an overlay, and a zoom shot, and another flash, and a zoom shot, and an overlay, and that's every 3 to 5 seconds. That is a problem for the judgment center of the brain, and it also brings on stress. But then you have to watch the stress that you get from TV. Just be very careful about it. You need to reduce stress in any way that you can. And what is the very best way to reduce stress? Exercise. Here's another one. Let's say it together. Exercise reduces stress. Again, exercise reduces stress. Okay, and then trust in divine power. God wants us not to worry. He has made it so that when we have a problem, what are we to do immediately? It's pray. It's depend on Him. He has made it so that we have a clear communication with Him. It's a clear channel. You remember we studied this morning when Dr. Moore was talking to us. We studied about how the human body is a broadcasting station. Every thought of the brain is instantly recorded in heaven. It's broadcast there and recorded in heaven. So if you want access to our Heavenly Father, it is just pray, meditate, think about Him, ask for help, ask for reduction in stress. You ever wake up at night and, oh, this bill that I owe, it's so big. I can never meet it. And you begin to worry and sleep is gone. Ever had that kind of thing to happen? Or any other thing? When the disturbing thought comes into your mind, instantly pray, Lord, you see this problem that I have. If you want me to have this problem, I am willing to have it. But I know you will help me get through it. Do you see? And your problems may not all go away because you pray. Some problems are character building and are for our good, and they are to be dealt with. It is not a resignation when we surrender ourselves to God. It's not resignation. It is submission. Help me to know what your way is out of this problem. Now here is another one that's very important to your heart. Avoid infections and inflammation. Avoid those. Well, how can you avoid infections? Well, you can't always avoid them, but if you will keep your extremities warm, that will go far. Even with such things as a gum boil or pyorrhea or an ulcer in the nose, if you keep your extremities warm, it helps you to ward off any infection. Then another thing, drink plenty of water. That makes those healing benefits that your bone marrow, your liver, your spleen have produced, it makes them able to circulate and get to the places where you need to have some help to ward off an infecting agent. Keep the circulation good. Do that with exercise, with warmth, with loose clothing everywhere. What about my feet? I don't have to worry about that if my shoes don't pinch my feet so much that I can't wear those nice shoes that I want to wear for dress up. If they don't just kill me so that I can't walk in them at all, that's all right, isn't it? No, it gives you stress to have ill-fitting shoes or shoes that put the feet or the body in a wrong position. Question?
I'd like to find a little bit on extremities.
Okay, that's really just your arms and forearms and hands, your thighs and legs and feet. That's what I mean by extremities. Now, what about the head? And I'm sure that's probably what you had in mind. The head is under a different vascular physiologic setup. We are designed that from the neck up, not the collarbones, but a little higher than that, above where the collar fits, from there up, it does not harm you to be cold or to be at least cool. The ears can get too cold, and if you are exposed too low down to the collarbones, then you can lose too much heat from the body. So that the feet can get cold because you are losing so much heat from the neck. Especially those of us who have long necks. We tend to lose a lot of heat from the neck. We lose a lot of heat from the head also. Those of us who have thinning of the hair will be losing a lot of heat from the scalp. And so we have to take that into mind, into account when we're talking about body temperature. Then all infections bring inflammation. Not all inflammation is infection. An infection means an infectious germ, like a fungus that gets in your nails because not your shoes are too tight, they may be, and your socks may be too tight also, and that can cause you to have a fungus. But the clothing, the bed clothes, the sheets and blankets can be too heavy, and your toenails can be too long, so that when they touch the sheets while you're sleeping, long toenails will be under special pressure and will press the blood out of the toenails, and that weakens the resistance of the toenails And then you get a fungus in your toenails. So keep your toenails trimmed nicely. There's so much now on this matter of inflammation and infection that things like pyorrhea or a tooth that's infected throws its inflammatory products into the bloodstream, which irritates the heart and encourages heart attacks, encourages strokes. So inflammation should be dealt with. We should not tolerate a chronic, long-term infection. And I have only 7 more minutes. So would you folks who have your hands up, please write a question, put it in my question box, and let me just get these others. There, it's going to take me all 7 minutes that I have to get through with this. Okay, if you're even 10, this is to take your cholesterol down. If you're even 10 pounds overweight, lose the weight. Breakfast eaters have lower cholesterol. I was so glad to see that in a medical journal. I've been teaching that for a long time. Breakfast was the most important meal of the day, and to see it in a medical journal was just absolutely wonderful. Use a 2-meal plan. I'd been teaching about a 2-meal plan for 25 years when the first article came out in the in a medical journal done over in Australia. It said that people who eat only a 2-meal plan, breakfast and lunch, and nothing after that and nothing between meals, that they had less allergies, less asthma, less heart disease, less diabetes, less digestive problems, less cancer. Then another study was done in this country on mice, showed that mice on a 2-meal plan had 93% fewer cancers than did those who were on an ad lib diet. They eat any time, day or night, that they wanted to. Okay, a 2-meal plan. Be a total vegetarian. You've probably doubtless heard about that. That's been being written about for, many decades. Avoid free sugars. That's syrup, honey, sugar, molasses, malt. Avoid free fats. That's mayonnaise, margarine, fried foods, cooking fats, salad oils. Free fats. Now, what are we talking about? No free sugar for what? Can't have any honey for what? What's this for? Is it for everybody? Blanket information, everybody. Don't eat honey. Don't eat olive oil. Is that for everybody? Who are we talking about? People with high cholesterol. You know, almost every time I give this lecture, somebody meets me outside and says, "Oh, this little thin person who's 22 years old, whose blood cholesterol is 88, comes to me and says, "Oh, Dr. Branch, I sure do like a little olive oil on my salad. I sure am sorry. I can't have it anymore. Why are you not taking it?" Well, you said in there not to take. Well, I said that those who had high blood cholesterol should not take it. I don't think you fit in that category. So notice who we're dealing with now. We're dealing with people who have high cholesterol. And then, caffeinated drinks, alcohol, strong spices. What are those? Well, like ginger, cinnamon, nutmeg, and cloves. And then salty food, and cayenne, black and red pepper. Salty foods, they keep the cholesterol up. Garlic, use it generously with meals and then make a supplement. Useful labor is the best exercise. What is useful labor? When you come to Yuchi Pines, we can give you lots of useful labor. My garden right now, you know, and I've got some limbs to pick up in the woods around my house. I don't do a lot of walking except on Sabbath. Sabbath, I love to walk in nature and commune with the Lord through what He has made for us, and teach my children and grandchildren and neighbors' children about the wonderful lessons that you can get from nature. Labor not only is good for your cholesterol, useful labor. Excuse me. but it is also good for the vital capacity, which is how much air you can blow out after you have had a full inspiration. And then it's also good for high blood pressure. Number two, helpful daily or frequent foods are beans or legumes, including peanuts, but especially soybeans. An ounce of nuts, especially walnuts, will generally bring the cholesterol down a little bit. 12 prunes will help reduce your cholesterol. Let me just read something that came from a medical journal. Prunes reduce cholesterol. A University of Minnesota study found that eating 12 prunes a day, that's about 3 ounces, helped reduce blood pressure levels in 41 men with elevated levels of LDL. And then it tells how to make a prune paste, which can be used instead of high-fat shortening in a variety of baked goods, including brownies and bran muffins. Prune paste is made with pitted prunes, water, and vanilla. You can make your own by blending for about 2 minutes, or until fluffy, 1 cup of pitted prunes, 6 tablespoons of water, and two teaspoons of vanilla. It can be kept in the refrigerator for several days. When substituted for shortening in baked goods, prune paste reduces the fat in the recipe by at least 75%. Well, that's nice to know, isn't it? Just 12 prunes. Of course, you could just eat them. Purple grapes, purple grape juice, and raisins. We've talked about that before. Avocado, grapefruit, amaranth. That's a grain substitute for people who are sensitive to grains. Then, another one on cholesterol. Herbs taken daily. Ginger root. Now, what is this for? That everybody can go out and take ginger root. Is that what I'm going to say? What is this for? We're treating. This is a treatment. It is not a food because it does irritate the stomach if you take it daily. So it's only taken until the cholesterol is down, and then you use other measures to keep the cholesterol down. A tablespoonful of grated ginger root taken daily in water is good. Hawthorn berry, myrrh, 2 cups of the myrrh tea, psyllium seed, 1 to 3 teaspoons, and flaxseed, 2 to 3 tablespoons. Turmeric, a tablespoonful stirred in water. Milk thistle. What is the first thing we use milk thistle for? The number one thing we use milk thistle for? For the liver. By the way, turmeric can be obtained from a spice cabinet, spice counter in the grocery store, or you can buy it. You can buy the capsules, which I have here, and you can see that they're bright yellow, just like the herb, the kitchen herb. It is an herb, and a culinary herb, and can be used in cooking. It's slightly irritating if you use a lot. So with what you use as a medicinal agent, it's a tablespoonful stirred in water per day. And you will tolerate it better if you take 1 teaspoonful 3 times a day. Milk thistle, 1 tablespoonful, same thing, 1 teaspoonful. Full 3 times a day. All right. Now some supplements that can be used to bring your cholesterol down. Chromium picolinate. That's 400 milligrams a day. Inositol. 500 milligrams a day. And then activated charcoal. Now you can take activated charcoal as the powder, which is of course the cheapest way, but you can also take charcoal by tablets or capsules. And here are some of the capsules that you can take. And I found in Japan, I think it was, I found this compress, charcoal compress, already made up and ready for use. So all you have to do is to open the top and take one out and put it on where you need a charcoal compress. And do you read Japanese or... Who's that? Japanese?
Korean.
Korean. Okay, all right. Then I got this in Korea. And you can, and other countries are far advanced ahead of us in the use of charcoal. What does it say there? Okay. A lot of charcoal stuff in Korea. Makes with honey. Yes. Yes, they're really marketing a number of things that can make the use of charcoal easier for you. And so we need to do that in this country too. Activated charcoal, a tablespoonful of the powder 4 times a day will bring your cholesterol down if you take it for a number of months. It may not bring it down a lot, but in some people it will bring it down 45%, and that's much more than you can ever expect the drug to do for you.
How much was that?
A tablespoonful 4 times a day. Stir it in water. Always stir it in water. Don't ever get to thinking I can take this dry. You cannot. several months. You can take it for 6 months or 8 months or a year. Okay. Then melatonin. I only use melatonin almost always only for cholesterol. You may use it some for sleep and some for jet lag, but I think it should be used rather sparingly. Reduce your insulin resistance. And we'll talk more about that later. Get plenty of soluble fiber, such as in those things that we mentioned, and all fruits, and some grains. Avoid high iron and copper levels in the blood. And I'm sorry I kept you over time. But let me just mention one more thing. This is for the blood pressure, which will be good for the heart. This will help someone. This came from a medical journal called Alternative Therapies, Volume 6, page 46, published in 2000. A hot bath for 20 minutes, 3 to 5 times a week, for 3 weeks, can reduce blood pressure as much as a drug medication. So, just a small tip. Let's bow together and have a prayer before you're dismissed. Our gracious Lord, we are so grateful for all the remedies that you give to us. Help us, Father, to look to thee for all our needs and to what you have provided for us. As we study these things in nature, we praise your name for thinking of everything for us and leaving nothing undone that's for our good. Now, bless us as we continue this day. Help us to constantly commune with thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. International Copyright 2003, American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. For additional cassettes or CDs by this speaker, or for a free catalog of other American Cassette Ministries resources, please contact us as follows. To order toll-free in the United States and Canada, dial 800-233-4450. For international calls, dial 717-652-7000. For fax orders, dial 717-652-9050. Our internet email address is info@americancassette.org. Other cassettes and CDs may also be ordered from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. Our entire catalog is online, and we accept MasterCard, Visa, and Discover credit cards. Or you may simply write to American Cassette Ministries, P.O. Box 922, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17108, in the United States of America. Maintaining the integrity of the Three Angels' messages for 28 years, American Cassette Ministries requests your continued prayers and financial support as we strive to provide you with the finest, most powerful spiritual messages available. Our one purpose in ministry, to prepare you and your loved ones to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.